Turn with me, please, to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 7. Now, beware of the Lamb. Where is he? I'd like to look at a couple of things, and I'm going to use the chart behind me. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 7, but I want you to think about his journey, where he was, what he did, what the outcome of that was, and how it should affect you. And of course, I want to look at your journey, because we are all on a journey, aren't we? We journey from the time we're born until we meet death's pillar. When we come to the end of our life, we're on a journey. And we have to ask ourselves the question, and I love, and I'm always reminded of that whenever I look at the chart of Murray Pratt when he spoke on this chart so many times. He would always say these words, get located. You need to locate yourself on this chart. You need to know where you are. Now, it's our intention, and intentions are good, but we're not always successful in our intentions, but it's our desire and it's our prayer that you would find yourself on this chart. We want you to find yourself. We want you to be located. We want you to understand where you are. And we want you, and we want to bring you by the Word of God. We can't do this ourselves. We lack the power. We don't have that ability. But we're counting on the Spirit of God because you're here tonight. We would like you to meet up with the one that's looking for you that came on a journey. And you'll only meet him at the door. And we heard the verse already that this chart speaks to us loudly of, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself saying, come unto me, behold, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I'm thinking of all the invitations that he gives in Scripture. Come to me, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then in Isaiah's gospel, and I call it a gospel because it truly is, and in that gospel, and the message there is that you need to, as an invitation, come to him. Come, sit down, and reason with me, says the Lord. He wants to sit and have an intelligent conversation with you. But you have to find out where you are. You have to know where you are. We're going to read these verses that are depicted by the chart here behind us. In verse number 13 of Matthew chapter 7, it says, enter ye in at the straight gate. Okay, the first thing he is doing here, I'm just going to break it down for you. I'm going to stop because the verse actually stops there with a colon, because a colon will indicate that he's going to a different description, a different part of his verse. So the first part of the verse, he's giving us clear command that you need to enter in at the straight gate. And that's the narrow gate that's depicted with the finger pointing, as the John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God. And he's pointing at that door because it's the only way off the road that we're going to talk about in the next part of the verse. So the first part of the verse is a command. Enter in at the straight gate. That's the command he gives. And why does he give that? Because he says, wide is the gate. There's a wide gate, a wide entrance. And it says this, wide is the gate and broad is the way. Why is it broad? There's many ideas. And, you know, it doesn't take a big imagination to think about the world of religion around us and how many ways and ideas this world has in the religious ideas of how to get to God, how to know that greater being and who that God is. There is I can't even begin to count them, and you too, you know that. There's so many ideas. And that's why he says, broad is the way. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. So there's a result of being on the broad road and following the ways of the broad road and not getting on the narrow road. There is a result. And what that result is, it leads to destruction. And get this, and many there be that go in thereat. Many are going in for these things. You know, it always astounds me, it amazes me, when you open up the scriptures to somebody who understands a little bit of the Bible and really wants to know, and it really amazes me, these people, and I'll just take out a group of individuals, and that might be you tonight, I don't know, but maybe you're in this group that thinks, well, if I do the best I can, if I do some good works, if I muster up my account to have Lot in it when I die, then perhaps God will take my good works and take my bad works and do a little bit of weighing, and he'll find out that my good works weigh a lot more than my bad stuff does. And so people in this little group that I'm talking about think that all they need to do is good works to get to heaven. And so I take people like that to verses in the Bible like, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Well, okay, that's a pretty deep one. And it's telling me that all the very best things we do are as dirty rags. Now, why is that? Why is that? It's because we're sinners. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know, people will come so far as to agree with you on that. They'll say, yeah, we're all sinners. That's why Jesus had to come. And so I take them further to a verse where it says, by grace are you saved through faith. Okay, now stop there. And I say, what does that mean? And you know, inevitably, because it's a word that most people don't use in the right way, because whenever people in the world use grace, it's all often linked to giving thanks at your supper table or at a meal somewhere. Give grace. Well, grace in the Bible means unmerited favor. It means favor that I don't deserve. You don't deserve. Nobody deserves. And so it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. So there's something there that you need to be saved with, and that's faith. Faith in what? Well, we'll get to that. But it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And then it goes on, okay, not just that, but it says, not of yourselves. He says, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. So basically, I stop them there and I say, okay, what is that saying? Well, it's saying, not of yourselves. That means it's not the type of person I am or how great I am or what standing I have or, you know, and all kinds of answers will come up and they're all correct. And the Bible is very clear on that, that the gift of salvation doesn't come by your standing in the community, by your standing in this world, by your attaining to the heights that you want to attain to or rise up to in your life to be a somebody. It doesn't matter. The Bible's very clear about that. It is not of yourselves. And then it goes on to say, okay, now this is where the legs get, and Lynn, my wife, she always says this about when she's telling her testimony, they just took everything out from under her. When this verse was read, it was just like taking everything away. And all the verses that she was pointed to in Scripture, it was like everything being taken away from her. And one of the, this verse was, and this is very clear, not of works, lest any man should boast. So right there, oh, what is it saying? You say you can get to heaven by what you can do and your best works? I already just said our righteousnesses, our best things in the sight of God are like filthy rags. And the Bible is very clear on that time and time again. Our sins have marred us. Our sins have stained us, and there's no way, as the Bible says, there's no fuller on earth that could clean that. But the blood of Christ, God's Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. It's His blood that cleanses. It's Him and His work alone that cleanses. That's why at the first of that verse, I'll go back to them, inevitably to them with it, and that is by faith. It's for by grace are you saved through faith. It's faith in what? And that's why we want you and your journey to lead you to the door, to Christ. We can't save you. We've never done anything about your sins, nor could we ever. By being a member of this church, the Gospel Hall, you could, that wouldn't save you, wouldn't get you one step closer to heaven. But where are you? And so our verse tells us very clearly to enter in at the straight gate as He gave the command. We need to find that door. And the Lord Jesus said in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 13, He says, you need to strive to enter into that door. It needs to be something you have to agonize over. In other words, it needs to be the most, if you prioritize anything in your life, it has to be the priority of your life. It can't be a priority. You can't have a list of a bucket list that you need to do when it comes to salvation. You need to make this your bucket. And that's all that's in the bucket. It has to be paramount. The most important thing that will ever come across your path in your life. You're faced with the gospel. You're faced with the invitation. You're faced with a choice. And the choice is always yours. And you're never forced to take that choice. All you have to do is read through scriptures time and time again. You'll read how people cross the path of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He gave them what they needed. The words they needed to hear, and so many of them just walked away. And did He go running after them? Wait a minute. Wait, maybe if you heard it this way, you'd... No, He gave them a choice. So, friend, tonight, this is your choice, and you need to make the choice. And so, as we see here, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, and as we've already been hearing about the Lamb... The lamb that was placed on the altar in the stead of Isaac. The lamb that was placed there that Isaac was bound. And you, friend, tonight, in your sins, are bound. And we just want you to come to that, to the grips of that, to understand that you're locked in your sins. And the Bible is very clear that if you continue in that direction and continue in that way and do not enter in at the gate, you're going to find yourself, as the verse tells us, this leads to destruction. It leads to destruction. And if you're going to continue in your broad-minded ways and thoughts about how to get to heaven and basing it all on what somebody else has told you and not what the Bible teaches, it leads to destruction. It's leading down. You need to understand where you are. And as my friend always put it, get located. Find out where you are in the reality of what the scriptures teach about us. About you, about me. Where are we in view of eternity? And there are those of us here that had a moment in time when we reached that door and we had to make a choice. Was it going to be my way? Was it going to be what I thought was right and how to get to heaven? What all the previous thoughts I had before that moment? Or was I really going to make a choice that would change my eternal course? And I want to tell you, I made the choice, and there are those here that made the choice to understand one thing, and we've heard this already, and you'll hear it again and again when the gospel is preached. I found out that I was a hell-deserving sinner. I did not deserve God's heaven. I deserve to be judged for my own sins because I had sinned against the Lord. And I knew my sins would find me out. And I knew that I would face God in my sins if I did not come God's way. And God loved the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I came to the point in a moment of time that I realized I was a sinner fit for hell, and I deserved that, and I acknowledged that before God. And I said, God, I deserve to be in hell, and I don't think you're going to save me, but I want to be saved. And it was in a moment of time that a very clear, because I wanted it more than anything else. And God knew my heart. God knows everyone's heart here. He knows when you want it more than anything else. And it was in that moment that I realized one simple truth from the Bible, that Jesus died for me. Simple and plain. Oh, you could repeat that over and over again, but is it true for you? Are you taking God at his word? Have you come to know where you are right now? Has there ever been a moment in your experience where you could honestly say, I deserve to be in hell. I deserve to be judged for my sin. Is there ever a moment that you came to that? And you said, I don't deserve heaven. Any moment in your life when that happened? Well, you can say Jesus died for me all you want, but what was the reason? What did you need him for? If there was never a moment where you were in that much danger. You know, the person out there drowning that's going down for the last time, he's not waiting for or thinking that, oh, everything's going to be okay. And the guy with the life preserver is the one that's linking him to his salvation physically. And as long as he stands there with that life preserver and throws it out there, and if he doesn't grab on to that life preserver and hold on to it with all his might, he's going down. But if he takes a hold of that life preserver, then he's pulled to safety. He's brought in. He's saved physically. And until you take hold of the truth that Jesus Christ came into this world on his journey, and you on your journey, and you meet him at the cross and understand he's the life preserver. He's the one that gives life. And he's the one you need to latch onto. And by faith, you need to trust that finished work, because you can't add one iota to that work. It's a work that he accomplished by himself on the cross. And when you lay hold of that and make that work yours, say, oh, thank God that you died for me on that cross. You paid the price I could never pay. You had all of God's wrath and anger against my sin put upon you. And you paid the price that I could never pay. Thank God. And it's not until you get to that point, and we want to bring you there tonight. We can't, I know that, but by the word of God, we want you to understand and get yourself located, and I hope you find yourself at the door tonight, and I hope you find yourself not just at the door, but through the door, and that you might know Christ as your Savior tonight, and you might know, as Isaac stood back and beheld the ram on that altar, I do not have to die today. I do not have to, I'm not bound any longer. There's my sacrifice. Christ is my sacrifice. Christ is your sacrifice. Would to God you would trust him tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do thank you for being able to share the gospel, and we pray for each individual here that are not saved, that they might find themselves where they are in their journey. And, oh God, bring them to the door of salvation. And Lord, we pray that they would make that choice that would change them eternally. So we just commend them to thee, and we commend ourselves as we thank thee, and we pray as we close with this hymn. We ask for thy blessing in our Savior's name. Amen.